Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Amy McCarron, who will be the District A New Orleans City Council member on Monday. And during her campaign, she said a couple of things that really drew my interest, talking about broken roads, violent crime, constant flooding, persistent blight, that these are things that need to be top priorities. And she also said that we make progress by relentlessly holding government accountable where it counts, in our neighborhoods and in its wallets. Amy, welcome to the show and congratulations on your election.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
So, Amy, I guess the anticipation's growing. We're getting closer and closer to Monday. I know a little bit about you, and I would imagine that you are chomping at the bit.
Yes, I am. I was just having a conversation today that, and if you can hear, my voice is a little scratchy because I've been meeting with people and talking way too much this week in anticipation for Monday. So I'm just ready to get started, ready to move in, and ready to, you know, get these things going that we talked about during the campaign that, you know, Helena campaigned on, that all of us campaigned on. So I'm really, really excited.
In this period of transition since the election, obviously, you have a finance background. You're a numbers girl, so to speak, and I say that with respect. How disappointing has it been just to watch some of this unwind? And the other day when I interviewed Helena Moreno, she said it's been eye-opening as to how much we did not know of what was going on inside the finances of the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, especially, I mean, you know, I was Joe's policy and budget director for 3 years. And, you know, initially, and I think I talked about this when I came on your show during the campaign, that, you know, I went back and looked at all the past reports and I'm like, gosh, did I miss something? And I went back over the last few years and no, I mean, the reports that we received, we didn't miss anything. And so it's been really disappointing and upsetting to see that this is how this outgoing administration has treated the city of New Orleans taxpayers by, you know, misleading the council. And, you know, I'm confident with this new administration, with me having, I'm going to be on the budget committee with Joe coming in as the CAO, that we're going to get it right. And that's a promise that we've made to the citizens and the taxpayers of New Orleans. We have a lot of work to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. That's what I've talked to, you know, over this transition period. I've gone to multiple neighborhood meetings and talked to them about, you know, look, we're not sugarcoating anything. It's going to be hard. There's going to be tough decisions coming forward. But I think that we all know what the mistakes have looked like in the past and how we are going to not make those same mistakes again.
In these meetings, how do you interpret the mood of your constituents? What are they saying? What are they feeling?
So actually, it's surprisingly, most constituents that I've talked to and just people in general are very, very excited about the incoming administration. Everybody has been very tired of the last 4 years. That's a given. You know that. You've heard that. But it's been really actually inspiring because people are really excited about it. They know that from what they have seen through the campaign and through the transition, that everyone seems to be on the same page, at least initially. Obviously, like, I can't guarantee that we're not all going to have, you know, disagreements at times about different things. But everyone is mostly excited that it's time to move forward. We're ready to move forward. We're ready to see what this next administration and council can do.
Now, you have the benefit of having, you know, kind of been in the game for a number of years. What do you, for your district, what do you see as the top three priority items?
So the top three priority items are infrastructure. Obviously, we received that FEMA 6-month extension. which obviously is not enough time to get things done. So that's something that I'm going to be pushing and working directly with the new administration on. What are our plans? What projects? Clearly understanding what projects are going to get finished within that 6 months, and then what is our plan going forward for the rest of the projects that are slated to get done, you know, having that situation of like, well, if we don't get a new extension, what is the plan? And if we do get a new extension, what is the plan? You know, the other aspect of that plan is, I think it's no secret that there are also projects that were supposed to be funded that don't have any money for FEMA and they don't have bond project funding. You know, I talked to Steve Nelson the other day and I said, what are we going to do to provide some relief for these streets that, you know, they're really bad streets, but we know that they're not going to get a full reconstruction. So, you know, he and I are really going to sit down and talk about, you know, if it costs $200,000 to just pave a street where you have the volcano, like the volcano I have in front of my house, how can we provide relief for people so they can get down their streets if we're not going to be doing reconstruction? So that's going to be a major point of, you know, the next few years for me is getting those projects on board. The other thing is that I talked about a lot during the campaign is streetlights. There are certain neighborhoods in the district that just don't have enough streetlights. We did a pilot program where we put up solar powered streetlights on Moss Street. I would like to see how we can work to do that, to provide additional lighting to make people feel safe in their neighborhoods when they're getting out of the car at night, that they have enough streetlights in the neighborhood. So that's one of the other big things that I think we're going to make sure. And also, obviously, with new, you know, Michael Harrison coming in over deputy mayor of criminal justice, I'm anxious to see how that's going to work, that coordination between NOPD, fire, and all the other aspects of the criminal justice system, and making sure that, you know, our crime is down, but making sure it stays that way, making sure that we're taking the right steps to move that forward.
I was kind of interested in one particular item that I don't hear discussed much, but I know it's been a challenge to be able to fund. And I know you worked on the, you know, with Joe on the budget committee. The legacy costs of the funding of the pension systems in the city of New Orleans. Have you looked at that and have we been able to provide the necessary dollars there to try and shore those programs up? It's been a challenge for a long time.
Yes, it's been a challenge for a long time. I haven't been briefed on that quite yet, but that's one of the top five things that I want to talk to Joe about when we get in is figuring that out, because that is important. It's been a huge cost burden. It's something that we owe, but also we need to figure out how we're going to make that work. So I don't have a lot on that at this point, but that's on the top of the list.
So when we look at this situation that we're dealing with right now with the recruitment and retention bonus plan, and we talk about the expenditure of these ARPA dollars, am I overstating this when we say that, you know, that this money was allegedly set aside, it's not there now, so, you know, then where is it? I mean, how did we, you know, spend it on something else? I mean, you have to document all of these things, and it seems as though this administration, they give a number between 8 and 12 million. It doesn't even, they seem like they can't even figure out who's entitled to this bonus.
Right. Yes. That's something that we're going to have to figure out as a council. Figure out what.
I mean, am I overstating this? I mean, it just seems to me like we got a big problem here.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're overstating it. I mean, that's been something that we planned out when we were doing the ARPA dollars, that, you know, these recruitment and retention bonuses were going to be given out, and this was going to be 2026 was going to be the last year that it was going to be given out. So we're going to have to figure out what happened to those dollars. I mean, we're going to have to figure out where it went. And then I know that we were trying to work on a plan to see if we can have that come out of the payroll funds. But, you know, I mean, That's only part of the problem. The other problem is what happened.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, and the legislative auditor made an interesting observation, saying, "Well, if you pay for it out of the payroll funds, you know, you backed into that number, trying to cover so many payrolls based on your revenue stream, that now gets disrupted, right?"
Right. Yeah. So we're going to have to look at that and see, you know, how that works out. I mean, you know, hopefully we won't have to have this revenue stream for, you know, a significant number of years, but, you know, we are going to have to figure out how that looks going forward, because we're going to have to still pay people, and we're going to, you know, people are going to be furloughed at this point. And, you know, I know that the administration is actively trying to not have additional layoffs than what we've already had to do. But, you know, we've got to see how it looks like with these continued furloughs and figuring that part out. Because, you know, we made that promise to the officers that this bonus was coming. I mean, and a lot of it is, especially the recruitment ones, you know, we said if you, you know, stuck around here for a couple of years and you went through all these things, that you were going to be getting these bonuses. So, you know, and we have seen that it has worked with some of the retention of our officers. So we're going to have to figure that out in the next, you know, first quarter of budget meetings, of figuring out what happened and then how we move forward and make sure that everybody's getting paid correctly.
Do you think that there's this momentum in talking to your peers and the new incoming council to make the cuts necessary? You know, as I look at revenues and I look at expenditures and in the breakdown of the budget, I did some back of the envelope calculations. I think y'all are at around 5,000 employees. I don't see the budget supporting much more than about 3,750 employees. I mean, that's a lot of folks that got to go. Have y'all begun to look at that to see, you know, exactly what these numbers are, what the employee-related benefit expenses are and everything else there? You know, the beauty of that retention bonus is that it didn't increase the base of their salary. So when you had all of this anticipated overtime, when you increase the base, you're increasing your spend, right? Because overtime number goes
right
up.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Joe in the CAO's office has been looking at employees and benefits, and he actually told me, like, we hadn't rebid out our health insurance for employees in at least 8 years, so that's something that I know that they're going to look at.
Wait,
look
say
at
that again?
Employee benefits.
Y'all
we
have
hadn't,
not?
Like, correct.
8 years?
At, yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's just been the same, like, this whole time. So that's something I know. And I
does
know
the city not have the, does the city not have a consultant that they work with on that? I mean, we review that every year. Every year.
I know. I don't know the answer to that one. I don't know the answer to that one. But I know that it's something that Joe is looking into as CAO. As far as the employees, you know, I know that. Look, I talked about this during the campaign. Helena talked about this during the campaign. We do a lot of outside contract work. So that is where a lot of our expenses come, especially for my, I'm going to go back to my example of streetlights. You know, we have two electricians that work for the city, and we outside contract everything else. And it costs us a lot more money, even when you count in all the employee benefits and that sort of thing. So, you know, those contracts are going to be up for renewal or revisiting in the middle of the year. So I know that the incoming DPW director is committed to figuring out how we can actually hire people in-house and save money on those things, because it's easier. We're more nimble. We're able to get things done quicker for people if we can have some of these in-house things. And I do think that we can get to that point. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's something that we need to work towards. I mean, it's important for our budget, for our city, for the future, for providing the basic services for residents.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. Congratulations on your election. We're very excited about your service to the city of New Orleans. I think you bring a skill set that the council needs and will benefit from. And so we look forward to working with you. And anytime, if you've got something that you want to say to your constituents or to the taxpayer and the citizens of New Orleans, feel free, give me a shout. We'll get you on.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Same goes to you. Let me know if you need me on any time. Happy to do it.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Amy McCarron, who was the incoming City Council District Member A. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.